This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to this week's Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, who would have thought that damp cardboard could prove so controversial? Well, it has certainly proved to be on the St Albans Eco Facebook group. A huge pile-on started with a big piece of cardboard left behind after a curbside recycling collection in St Albans, with a possible reason being given that it might have been left because it was too wet. Well, I'm not going to get into any of the arguments, but let's put the facts straight for everyone wanting to do their best for the environment and recycle as much of their waste as they can. I spoke to Louise Palmer, Waste and Recycling Officer at St Albans District Council. Louise, welcome to Environment Matters. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. So, can you clarify, the cardboard that we put out for curbside recycling, does it have to be dry?
Thank you so much for inviting me on. I know there's quite a bit of confusion about cardboard, so it's a lovely opportunity to be able to hopefully clear up some of the misunderstandings. So first of all, it doesn't need to be bone dry, but as dry as possible. The reason for that is because it goes in the back of our vehicles, which have moving parts. So if you put really soggy cardboard or paper in that, it can clog up the machinery and make it very difficult for the compactors. Also, when it gets to the paper mill for recycling, first things first, it needs to be sorted and graded. If it's a big soggy mess, they can't sort it. So the paper mill could reject an entire load. We then have to find somewhere else for it, quite possibly landfill. And that's at high cost to the council. We never, ever want to see good quality recycling go into landfill. So if you can just keep really, really wet paper or card out, you know, when the weather's bad, that's fantastic. The drier, the better.
Okay. So how does that work for the great big open skip thing that they've got at the tip? Doesn't that fill up with water, or is that processed in a different way?
It is slightly different. A, there are no moving parts on the sort of skip container. And also, you'll see that the guys who work there will be always trying to make it nice and flat and level. Don't know if you've ever looked in, but they're always trying to do it. So it'll always be just sort of the top layer that's getting very, very wet. You know, the entire container wouldn't get saturated. You'll get a top layer which gets wet, that can be removed, but everything underneath will be dry enough to be recycled.
Okay, then I see. So it is slightly different there, and they're trying to manage it to, again, try and keep all the cardboard dry there, or at least most of it. So does that mean that all of the cardboard that we put out has to go actually into our recycling boxes, or are we all right putting big bits of cardboard out unfolded just so long as they're not soggy?
Yeah, exactly that. As much as possible, put in your boxes, put the lid on the box. That's the ideal, but we do understand there are some really big pieces of cardboard. So the key things are to remember are, take everything out of cardboard boxes. We get a lot of boxes presented still with polystyrene in or with other items. It must just be pure cardboard. Break it down as much as you possibly can. In the old days, the wagons just had a big open back and the loaders could just throw things in. Nowadays, they have a split back, half of which is for cans, plastics, glass, the other half for paper and cardboard. But the entrance to that section is up high. So it's not a case that the guys can just take a great big piece of cardboard and throw it in the collection vehicle. It still needs to be broken down. It still needs to be put into a wheelie bin, one of the loaders, you know, master bins that they use, to be emptied into the vehicle. So with changes to the vehicle, there's changes to collections as well. So we're always going to say, please break it down as much as you possibly can.
Right. And when we are breaking it down, do we have to remove all that sticky tape as well?
We don't need to remove all of the sticky tape. Most of it will get removed at the paper mill when it's getting recycled. But if there's excessive amounts, and, you know, some people are very considerate with their packaging, and other people just use, I don't know, half a roll of tape and make it really awkward to get into the box. So if it comes off easily, take off as much as you can, but it's not vital.
So you've said there that the recycled cardboard, that it goes to a paper mill. So do they pay money for that? Is somebody making money out of this? Does the council make money out of it? Or what's the situation there?
Yeah, in theory, they will pay us for the paper. And with all of the materials that we collect, we will get an income from that. But that goes to pay towards A, the service, and B, the landfill tax. So the more we put into landfill, the more we have to pay. So we could almost be self-funding if we recycled more than we put into landfill. It's not a profit that we're making, it's just funding the service.
Right. Okay, so basically anything that's successfully recycled is funding the brown bin collection.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Right, okay. And as you say, it's not Veolia who are making money from that. It's St Albans District Council who are offsetting it against their costs of waste disposal.
Yeah, exactly that. If we didn't do it, if we weren't so good at recycling, then it might impact council tax. We might have to say, I don't know, put the council tax up further because of the cost of the landfill tax. So the more we recycle financially, the better as a district we will be. So it's in everyone's interest, but it's also, of course, the right thing to do for the environment, to help fighting the climate crisis.
And actually, we're quite good at recycling in St Albans.
We are very good. We have plateaued a little bit, and we have got a survey out at the moment. We're trying to understand what it is that people love and hate about the service. You know, is it the fact that they're getting mixed messages about cardboard, for example? Is that stopping them from recycling their cardboard? Is it just not enough communication? We just really want to understand what it is that people love and hate so that we can adjust what we're doing and our communications with people and really encourage everybody just to do that a little bit more.
Yeah, indeed. So thinking about that soggy cardboard, if we do have soggy cardboard that's really soggy, we've left it out, it's been in the rain, it's gone a bit mushy, can we put that into our green bin?
No, we can't take any cardboard in the garden waste anymore. That was something from quite a few years ago, but that came to an end quite quickly because what we found was a lot of the cardboard was heavily inked and you don't want that going into the ground. And also a lot of people weren't emptying their cardboard boxes. So when it was getting to the garden waste reprocessing site, we were finding there was lots of other materials in with the garden waste, which we just couldn't recycle. So the Environment Agency decided to end that collection of cardboard and garden waste. So garden waste is just garden waste on the subscription service, and paper and card is paper and card. If it's really soggy and you've got a home compost, you could always rip it up and put it in your home compost. That's a great way to dispose of it. Or if you could just keep it somewhere for a week or two, let it dry out and then present it again.
So another thing that people seem to be worried about was the way that the waste operatives dealing with the recycling bins, the way that they're very rough with our bins. Sometimes they throw them around and they get broken. They seem to end up all over the street. Now, you spoke to Veolia about this. What did they say?
Yeah, they do train the operatives, and the operatives, I would say on the whole, are good. But of course, there are always some who are in a rush. They're doing about 1,500 properties a day per crew. So, you know, they're really under the cosh to get it all done. But that's no excuse. We still expect them to put containers down nicely. Sometimes the weather is against them. Sometimes it's just, you know, it's a busy road and there's lots of, you know, their wagon is holding up the whole street and there's cars, you know, doing their horns, and they really are conscious that they need to keep on moving. So sometimes they're just in a rush. However, we don't want broken containers. We don't want them left dangerously in the middle of people's drives. So if anyone does come across that, I really would encourage them to contact the council or Veolia and let us know. When we know if there's a particular crew, for example, who are particularly guilty of this, then we can retrain them. Well, Veolia will retrain them. And we don't want anyone to have a bad service, but we do need people to report it. Otherwise, we're just assuming that everyone's doing okay.
Yep. Yes. Okay. And then finally, we've just had Christmas. That is traditionally the peak of the waste and recycling calendar. Any ideas how we did this year? Did everything go smoothly? All those Christmas trees found a good home? Anything to say about that?
Yeah, I think overall it was quite good. It was a bit different this year because we were only one day behind, whereas in previous years we've been 2 days behind, where Christmas falls earlier in the week. And the crews managed to catch up very quickly. But of course, they do have very, very heavy loads, especially with cardboard. So as soon as the vehicle is full, they have to take it to the waste transfer site to empty the contents. And they can be queuing up there for quite some time. That puts them back. That puts them behind schedule. But they did really, really well. They worked hard. They worked on the Saturdays and they got caught up. And although we did collect a lot of trees and the Christmas trees, and we helped the hospice with their collection of the Christmas trees as well. Often I'd be driving around the district and I'll see odd trees left out on the verge. I've not really seen any this year, so that's a good sign. Hopefully they've all been taken. But anyone got any comments, anything they want to say, report, good, bad, please don't hesitate to contact us. It's how we can help, you know, how you can help us monitor the contract.
Louise, thank you so much for explaining all that to us today.
Oh, no, thank you ever so much for having me.
I was talking there to Louise Palmer, Waste and Recycling Officer at St Albans District Council. I'll put a link to the St Albans District Council Recycling Guide, plus how to report any problems with your bin service, into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. And Louise had some additional good news for us. The Hospice of St Francis made a record £50,000 from the Christmas tree collection. They collected a whopping 2,200 trees, and the money raised by this scheme will help the Hospice of St Francis help people living in Hertfordshire and Buckinghamshire to live their best lives when suffering from or recovering from a serious illness. Now, as Louise mentioned, soggy brown cardboard is a great addition to a home compost heap and will help balance out things like vegetable peelings or grass clippings so that your compost heap is a good mixture of carbon-rich and nitrogen-rich waste. Just the diet that those compost bugs need to make dark, crumbly, wonderful compost that your plants will love. And if you're interested in learning more about home composting, even if you do not have a garden, then do check out the Soil Squad. They're a community interest company based in St Albans, dedicated to making composting second nature for everyone. They run educational events throughout the year, including Bokashi composting workshops. They're held at the Greenhouse Eco Hub in St Albans, and the workshops are hands-on opportunities to discover the ins and outs of the Bokashi composting method. And in case you don't know, Bokashi is great because it doesn't need a compost heap outside, but all the Bokashi magic happens in a sealed container inside your home that, I'm told, doesn't smell. Now, the workshops sound very friendly and useful, whatever your level of expertise, and you would have to book, but they're free to attend thanks to funding from the Breakspear Park Sustainability Fund. I'll put a link to the Soil Squad website into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com so that you can learn more about this great organisation and book onto one of their courses. And just going back to gardens, if you are lucky enough to have a garden or an outdoor space, then now is a perfect time to plant trees and hedges. And just to let you know that the Woodland Trust have got packs of native trees available at subsidised prices, not free, but subsidised. Again, I'll put a link to their online shop into the notes that go with the podcast of this show. Now, they've got all sorts of different packs available. They've got collections for different parts of the UK. They've got collections to replace trees killed by diseases like ash dieback, and collections for different situations, like they've got trees for urban spaces, they've got packs to encourage pollinators, and the packs that will grow into good wildlife hedges. So, you know, there's something there for most situations. All of the trees are supplied as little 2 foot high baby trees so that they are much easier to plant. You don't have to dig big holes for them, and they're established really quickly, much faster than if you were transplanting more mature trees. And don't be put off by their small size. Trees planted small soon get their roots down and catch up. Now, it's always good to hear from you. Perhaps you've got other recycling queries you'd like to be answered? Well, via email, I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com, or look out for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on Facebook and on X. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.